The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons, National Director of Scouting, National Signing Day Savant, Barton Simmons. I'm Chip Patterson. And yeah, this is the Signing Day live sort of instant reaction has been a portion and a part of our content, Barton, ever since. We've been working together because of just the incredible amount of information that you're able to synthesize and compile with your friends at 24/7 Sports. And like, of all of the signing day reactions that we've done, this one, as you predicted a little bit in the signing day preview, this one's pretty straight and narrow. We've got like a manageable, it's not all that widespread in terms of our biggest stories. It's just a couple of handfuls of names, couple of handfuls of teams, but it's almost in the books. How are you doing as we're sitting here recording on Wednesday night?
Man, I'm tired, Chip. I'm ready for it to all be over. I got to get off this. I got another radio after this, and then I got to write our winners and losers, and then I'm going to go home and watch a show or something. But look, this is a signing class where we saw the cream rise to the top, where we saw more cream than usual at the top. And I think we saw it definitely isn't a changing of the guard. I mean, Georgia ended up number one, but I think just like more teams joining Alabama as an operation that can do this on an annual basis.
They are running away from everybody else. There is a train that it is leaving, has left the station, and you know, we've seen in the last couple of years Clemson be able to come get on board. We've seen in the Urban Meyer era, Ohio State level up to be one of those players. I feel like you can take – actually, you know what? This was – I'm Barton, we've been talking to each other enough that I think you're in my head now. But it really is like even though teams like Florida and Auburn are in the top 10, it feels like they're in a different top 10 than the top five teams.
It's all about neighborhoods. It's all about what's your neighborhood. It doesn't matter if you're 14th versus 12th. What matters is what neighborhood are you in and where are those cutoffs to the different areas of town. And the high-class area town that's driving the Teslas and as the gates in the front yard is those five of Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Georgia,
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Look, Texas A&M, they bought their Tesla. Like they maybe don't have the intercom on the gate yet or whatever. Right. But they're making some moves. Like Texas A&M had the McKinley Jackson. Texas A&M landed McKinley Jackson today. Big win over Alabama in that one, and you know that's the kind of. And it's not as if like that's why Jimbo Fisher's there. That's exactly why Jimbo Fisher it was hired at Texas A&M because there was an assumption and a belief and a hope that he could do things like land McKinley Jackson on National Signing Day over Alabama. And so he did that. And there A&M lands at sixth, and that's a pretty good spot for A&M to be. That's close. But you're right. I think like. There's the top five. There's everyone else. I'd say there's top fives, and then there's like the next five, and then there's probably a group of like three than this group of like eight. You know, we're just sort of going these little and whether you're, you know, fourth or first in your tier is sort of where you're at from a talent standpoint.
There were a lot of pieces of the Georgia class that finished number one with work that was done in December. As you look at the class as a whole, you know, where are the, where are you hanging your hat and where are you buying your stock on having players and having positions that are going to be difference makers for the Bulldogs in a couple years?
Offensive line continues to be a really elite group. They're big, they're athletic, they're tough. I mean, this is just a good offensive line group. I think corner is the other group I'm very confident will be really good in Jalen Kimber and Keely Ringo. I think there's probably the player I like the best in this class for Georgia, and one of my favorite players in this class, period, is a defensive tackle named Jalen Carter, who played tight ends most of his career before this year. He's just a beast, just a monster. He's so good. And so I think that guy plays as a freshman. And then, you know, they got some really speedy wide receivers, and Georgia hasn't always gotten the ball to their speedy wide receivers effectively, but Jermaine Burton and Arian Smith and these guys at least have a transfer quarterback and Jamie Newman to maybe get it to them. So there's some weapons coming in for sure.
What about, The one of the questions that was posed to us on CBS Sports HQ was to try and put Alabama into perspective, and I have found that, you know, I'm almost finding myself being a little bit more vocal about Alabama because we're trying to write the downfall. We're trying to look at this, you know, finishing number two instead of number one as a sign that things are coming to some kind of end. And I just, you know, to take a step back and to allow myself to take the other side of that position, what we're looking at, you know, that they were, yes, down at halftime pretty big to LSU, and the final score did not indicate the difference between those two teams. But I think that what this season has told us with time is that was said way more about LSU. And the loss to Auburn wasn't great, but guess what? That was a loss to Auburn without Tua Tagovailoa. So to look at Alabama, even with the setbacks that they had, and to view the kind of performance statistically on the season that they had, like I look at the recruiting trail, and you know, today wasn't a huge day for Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban even came to the podium. He called it, well, I guess this is National Signing Day limited edition. You know, like he seems to be downplaying the idea that, hey, listen, the biggest stars in our class, they're not only already signed, but they're on campus right now. Like I look at Alabama, and I'm beating back against the narrative that it is all gloom and doom, or that we're trending in the wrong direction. I find myself, you know, doing something that no one's ever done before, and being a media member supporting Alabama.
No, I think this is an important clarification that just because Alabama didn't get the number one class, and just because I act like there's a new sort of set of royalty in college football from in terms of their ability to recruit talent, it's not that Alabama has receded to the pack. It's that a few select teams have raised their game to run with Alabama. And so Alabama is still going to be there. And in fact, this class, I think, gives me more confidence than ever that Alabama is going to be there, because it gets a quarterback that extends Alabama's life as having the right signal caller for at least another 3 years in Bryce Young. It also gets at some of the weaknesses of this year's team was defensive front. And this class is loaded with inside linebackers, outside linebackers, defensive interior guys, and Miss McKinley Jackson. But, you know, Timothy Smith is the real deal. And so, yeah, this is a class in Alabama that is certainly national title worthy.
Where do you and I guess we can get outside the SEC for a little bit. All right, Jordan Birch stays with South Carolina. That's big
headline. I mean, we think he still hasn't sent his LOI in as of right now. It's, what, 5:53 Central Time? He still hasn't sent his LOI in. So, you know, we'll see when the dust settles, if it settles, there's we'll see what stories emerge from this one.
What does your gut say?
I mean, I guess my gut says that he still lands at South Carolina. South Carolina's sort of acting like it's no big deal, but why didn't he send his LOI in? Like, this is kind of a weird kid. I think LSU, I mean, LSU felt like they had a shot going into the day. So I don't know. If I had a bet, I'd say he still lands at LSU. Or, I mean, sorry, still lands at South Carolina. But again, like, there's a reason he took a visit to LSU in January. And I would assume there's a reason he still hasn't sent his LOI in. I don't know what that reason is. We'll see what happens.
Have you gotten a chance to read that Steve Spurrier story in The Athletic?
No.
Mm. I'm telling you.
I will.
The angst of, I mean, you know, just to have it sting for South Carolina fans to see how Spurrier wanted out and how he was talked into coming back and all the repercussions that have come from that. Boy, it would really sting to add on top of some of those revelations, having Jordan Birch, isn't he straight up hometown or is it in-state?
Hometown, Columbia.
Hometown, Columbia.
Will Muschamp was at the presser.
Oh, my gosh.
Because his son was at the presser. His son was announcing or whatever.
Oh, his son, who is going to be... Preferred walk-on at Georgia. Yeah. I guess he was at Colorado State because of Mike Bobo, right? Like, if his initial commitment was Colorado State.
No, because he committed fairly late to Colorado State.
Okay.
So I just assumed that was I don't know what that was about. But, yeah, so I don't know. The whole deal is, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Jordan Birch was planning on going to LSU and saw Muschamp in the crowd and was like, oh man,
you gotta say something. Yeah, there's some frantic phone calls being made. All right, so we had McKinley Jackson. He goes to Texas A&M. Alabama was trying to get in on there. Broderick Jones was an early in the day commitment, and it was a Georgia commit, and to have him sign was, I guess, at the moment, not necessarily a huge surprise, though. About a week out, maybe, even headed into last weekend, it seemed like there were other schools that were in the mix for Broderick Jones.
Yeah, but he didn't take his official visit to Auburn, and so when that didn't happen, all indications were he was going to land at Georgia, so they locked him up. Texas jumped into the top 10. Alfred Collins is their big get of the day. Really good class for Texas. Tennessee, probably one of the bigger... I think they jumped from 15 to 10 with a kid named Malachi Wideman, who they flipped from Florida State, a wide receiver, and Dee Beckwith, another receiver tight end type from Alabama. Those two guys are both stud basketball players. I think this Tennessee class is pretty sick. I think this is a good group. So Tennessee was a winner, and Miami got a big win over Florida. Avante Williams. Fortunately, Florida landed Princely Umamielen, and in doing that got some good news, because if not, it would have been really sad, because Florida has had this pretty strong recruiting cycle, and yet they really missed on everyone in the early signing period and almost missed on everyone in the late signing period. So, you know, these really nice recruiting stretches were punctuated by these really disappointing days, but in getting the Princely Umamielen kid from Texas, it was they had some good news to point to finally.
So it's like, because as they've been on the table but not having the hat picked, I guess you could say, for a lot of these big names in December and now again earlier today, that means that the class, which again ranks number 8 in the country, has got a lot of solid pieces. It's just from a narrative perspective, it stinks to not have those top build difference makers.
That's what signing day. I mean, I think some of these schools, at least in the old days, they'd hold off on a commitment and ask them to commit on signing day so that they could get some juice from it. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter what you do the other 364 days. All people want to talk about is who won signing day. And so that's been a, Florida's been a little snake bit on signing day this year, but the class itself, like you said, I mean, the class itself is actually really good.
Yeah. All right. So are we the problem then? Like by putting it just on the national signing day, or with the early signing period, has the 12-month-a-year sort of recruiting calendar that all these coaching staffs and programs have adopted, you know, are they even as concerned as they used to be about being a quote-unquote winner on signing day?
I'm sure they're not. I actually just talked to a coach before we got on the phone that was at a school that didn't sign anybody on signing day. Just like he was literally calling about something with nothing to do with National Signing Day. And he was just chilling today. You know, there's a lot of schools that just had nothing to worry about. And
wasn't Ohio State a zero? Ohio State had nobody that they were sweating out, right?
Ohio State Clemson had nobody that they were worried about. I mean, a lot of these schools just flat out full. Penn State had no one to worry about. Notre Dame had no one to worry about. Like there was a lot of just flat out, we've got nobody left on the boards. We're full. No scholarships available. Ends closed. Moving on to 2021.
Yeah, I felt like that when we were asked to have some winners and losers, all I could do was, like, in terms of losers, I was like, I don't know. I guess the few schools that were in the mix and didn't get picked. Like, I don't think that today the general makeup of some of these recruiting classes went, like, the USC class was bad at the end of the early signing period, and I didn't see USC in the mix for a lot of big-time difference makers. So when USC finishes the recruiting cycle outside of the top 50, it is damning, but it is not any more or less damning than it was yesterday or 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. Like, how much more do we need to pile on to USC? Like, yes, we get it. They're outside the top 50. This USC class sucks. Like, do you want me to say it? Like, on December 18th and then every day thereafter? Like, I feel like we can stop. Like, USC still doesn't have a good class. I tell you, the loser is, you know, if you want one, you go with this collective group. You go with Mike Norvell. You go with Sam Pittman. You go with Lane Kiffin. You go with Eli Drinkwitz. You go, like, I say that sort of tongue in cheek because a couple of those guys actually had some good wins. Missouri had a good win with Eli Drinkwitz, and Sam Pittman had a good win with Arkansas today. But generally speaking, like, the losers are just the new coaches. Like, there's just, like, it's just a losing proposition to be able to put together a class that you can be fully excited about with the early signing period, because it just wipes all the options out. Like, the fact that, in fact, I take that back. Like, you really just can't even say that about Sam Pittman. Arkansas's 30th in the country. I think he inherited that class at 130. 130th in the country. Like, they literally had six commits when he took over. So they got a kid today in Malik Hornsby, who's a really good quarterback prospect. That's a huge win. Watch the Missouri football Twitter accounts where you can go to my Twitter. I retweeted it during the day at some point, where Eli Drinkwitz, the new head coach of Missouri, responds to landing this kid in his rake straw. And I literally don't think that they, in fact, like, our intel going into the announcement was that they expected him to land somewhere else. And you're sitting there and you can see a video of Drinkwitz watching the kid's commitment where he commits to Missouri, and he just goes off, like, in celebration, cause he's so shocked and excited. So I contradicted myself. Some of those guys did have some good moments, but I think generally speaking, new coaches were in a tough position with the early signing period to get anything done.
You are a pro for doing the pack in context. Like, we're always taught to not just assume the audience knows who they are, but it does say something that I do think Eli Drinkwitz is a context necessary coach. You got a few years before we can say Eli Drinkwitz and just have everyone know immediately who we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. There's some west of the Mississippi types that may not quite know Eli too well yet.
Coming up on the other side, more news and notes from National Signing Day and a busy day and week in the transfer portal. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
So I guess we can pull in some of this. So KJ Costello, transfer portal news, I guess from like the weekend, a couple days ago, commits to Mississippi State. So that's going to be for that's got to be for Mike Leach a known quantity. We saw KJ Costello when he had JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Colby Parkinson. We saw him air it out just a little bit. So and a couple other transfer portal names. Ricky Slade hit the transfer portal. Booby Whitlow, Ricky Slade from Penn State.
Booby Whitlow was a weird one. I mean, surprising one.
I
get Ricky Slade all the way because that Penn State running back room is like busting at the seams with running back talent. So hey, Ricky Slade, man, you know, no respect loss there. Like, I get it, man. Go find some carry somewhere else.
But
Booby Whitlow is supposed to be the guy for Auburn next year. I wonder what's going on there.
Buddy Jerry Hinnan, formerly with CBS Sports, put it in a way, so I'd like to give him credit. He said he thought that Whitlow was in this weird middle place, and I'll call it like a medium place, that, you know, he's not so great that he is worth getting a lion's share of the carries in that Auburn backfield, but yet he's so much better than just getting a third of them. Like, he's got that, you know, we've seen so often we've seen both sides of that with a Gus Malzahn offense where, you know, maybe it's Kerryon Johnson shouldering the load almost entirely, but then he goes through other stretches where it is very much a by committee approach, and maybe as he's looking around, maybe he views himself as someone that deserves more than by committee approach, and maybe the Auburn coaching staff doesn't. But it's a little bit of a loaded room, there's enough talent in that running back room that I can see why the coaching staff would want to split carries around more than maybe what Whitlow's looking for.
I guess, but that's a very old school thought process. I mean, DJ Williams is really good, but who else is in there stealing carries from them? I mean, they just got a really good player in Tank Bigsby coming into this class, but I don't know. I mean, who's out here begging for 30 carries a game in today's world? So maybe that's why, but that just sort of caught me off guard with that one.
You think that might just be a time, fit, place? Jartavius is ready to move on.
Yeah, it could be. Who knows? But like I wouldn't be surprised if there's something like non-football related that's, you know, just made him want to get a new start somewhere. That's just, I mean, just because it doesn't make, like, from a football side, it just doesn't make sense. I'm not speculating. I don't want to speculate. I'm just, that's one that I would need to hear the backstory on.
What was, were there any other transfer portal names that popped up recently that drew your eye?
No, I mean, obviously KJ Costello was the big one. and that was critical, because what's Mike Leake is going to do if he doesn't get KJ Costello? Our boy Garrett Schrader is not going to. I mean, that's not a Mike Leach quarterback, and he's one of the guys that talk about new coaches. Like Mike Leach, his whole deal benefited from being a post early signing day firing. He steps in, and Joe Moorhead put together this really solid class for him. Just handed it to him. He didn't have to do anything. Those guys are signed. All they had to do is just make sure no one wants to request a, you know, a release from their LOI. But he needed to get a quarterback that could play, and I think KJ Costello certainly can. So, no, that's the only one that necessarily has caught my eye here of late.
All right, Mississippi State is number 27 in the 24/7 Sports composite. Do you think that in the Mike Leach era, that will be one of the two highest ranked classes?
More than likely, but you never know. Unless they start winning a bunch, and then I don't know, people might just be compelled to come. It was interesting hearing on the 24/7 Sports Show, Mike Leach was talking about the 4-hour radius around Starkville and how it's one of the best 4-hour radiuses in the country if you use your compass that you get in math class. And he talked about hitting Atlanta, Nashville, all of Louisiana, a little bit of Texas, Memphis. Like, hey, you know, sounds good to me. So let's see if they can get it done.
Miami, as you mentioned them a little bit earlier, they were big movers from number 18 up to number 13 today with the addition of Avante Williams and locking down that class. Are you believing that things are – we've been talking about Miami a lot on this podcast. I feel like Miami fans are offering a lot of Miami questions through the mailbag. So I guess for our we've already addressed our beloved Georgia Bulldogs. For our budding Miami listeners, what's the final grade for the Hurricanes recruiting class?
Decent to quite decent. Like – solid, passing, acceptable.
That's another example of the way that you threw out when we were talking about the tiers of these rankings. Just because Miami's 13 and Texas is 9 does not mean Miami's close to Texas.
Let's see. I would say Miami is not close to Texas. I would say Miami is close to Michigan. I'd say Miami's close to Miami. I'd say Miami's close to Oklahoma and Penn State. I don't think they're close to Texas.
Got
they're
it.
Certainly not close to Florida.
Right. Daggum.
And by the way, I know we have a very national audience listenership, and I know they get frustrated when anything turns into SEC discussion alone, but there's a reason we're only talking SEC today. SEC is the only conference that was doing anything today. Not from a, like, I mean, certainly there are some wins around the country, but, like, just that's the way the SEC operates. They save a lot of their work till they procrastinate a little bit. They save some work till the day before the test. And that's just kind of what the news was today on signing day.
And you want to know why? Because, or at least I can only apply my own procrastination history, and the times when I felt like I could really procrastinate is because I was really good in that class.
Right.
Like,
there's no doubt.
I procrastinated when I felt like I had a handle on it, when I felt like I was pretty good at it, based on a history of being really good despite procrastination.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, you know, I was a history major, and the reason I was a history major is because I was really good at BSing in those essays to fill up those blue books. And you know what? If you can BS your way through a blue book, you don't have to do all the reading, man. So
that's the SEC recruiting experience. BSing your way through the blue book.
Yeah, they are BSing their way. But they can fill up those blue books.
Yeah, they were the headlines of the day for the 15th year in a row. 17th,
right.
Yeah, whatever it is. Like, who's the number one class again? It's the Georgia Bulldogs and Alabama, and then they're followed by LSU and Texas A&M and Auburn and Florida and Tennessee. Is that 7 out of the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, when we went through that list of teams that didn't have any guys that they were even trying to get, like, I don't think I mentioned an SEC school. Like, they were all non-SEC schools. Blue bloods at that, but they just weren't SEC schools, and they didn't have any work to do.
Oh, man. Well, thank you very much. You did great work today. Pass along our kind words to Steve Wiltfong, everybody at the 24/7 desk. Y'all crushed it. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Barton, enjoy watching a show and not thinking about recruiting for just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to moving on tomorrow into 2021 college football, and let's not talk recruiting for a couple months.
I got you.
Deal.
Deal. Thanks, dude.
All right, later.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.